The following podcast is for information purposes only and is not suitable for retail investors.
Hello and welcome to this week's Chart of the Week podcast. Today is Thursday, the 19th of January, and I'm once again joined by Lorenzo Laposta. Now, earlier this week, Lorenzo and I were discussing our outlooks for Japan, both over the next few months and over the longer term. And as obviously with many discussions involving Japan, one of the key aspects was our outlook for the Bank of Japan and its ultra-loose monetary policy. So, Lorenzo, why don't you kick us off by discussing why exactly the Bank of Japan has become so relevant, particularly in the last few days even?
Hello, Ben. Thank you very much for having me. And as you say, Japan has rarely been that interesting, at least over the last couple of decades. In fact, the Japanese economy has been stagnating and fighting against low growth and low inflation for a very long time. And that is why, in the first place, the Bank of Japan in 2016 decided to adopt what is called yield curve control mechanism, which is a way of stimulating economy by not only moving the base rates as most central banks do, but actually controlling the shape of the entire yield curve. Their objective specifically was that of suppressing short and midterm rates to stimulate borrowing, stimulate growth, without depressing actually the very long-term rates that would instead reduce returns for the pension funds and for life insurers that had other bad consequences. So they're targeting, as of today, a short-term interest rate of minus 0.1% and a yield on a 10-year government bond around 0%. That was an attempt by the Bank of Japan to, as I said, stimulate inflation, economic activity that had been too low for too long by effectively trading the bonds in the open market. These targets have remained unchanged since, but the acceptable range around those targets has changed. When in fact, in 2019, the acceptable range above 0% target was plus or minus 0.1%. This has been released to 0.25% last year, well, actually 2 years ago now, and released to 0.5% only a few days ago. Now, you know, this is a massive change for a central bank that is actually been doing something very unique for a very long time without too much success, to be honest.
Okay, so the bank has been using this monetary policy to fight a stagnating economy. It's been tackling deflation in the country for, say, the last 30 years. And in the past 12 months, we've actually seen improving levels of wage growth. We've seen high levels of inflation, in fact, the highest inflation since around the 1980s. Tell me why, after several years of this ultra-loose policy, would they stop now?
Well, Ben, they would. They are thinking about stopping now, or at least making it a bit less costly of a problem, because with that much market pressure against them and bond yields that would naturally like to go higher when they are going higher, they have been going higher in the rest of the world, and when inflation is, as you said, to a high level of 3%, maintaining that yield curve control is becoming costlier and costlier for the Bank of Japan. Only last week, they spent $72 billion to keep that 10-year within the acceptable range around 0%. And, you know, this is what stimulating the economy via monetary policy easing is something that works, as central banks have proven, but it doesn't always work, and especially it's not maybe a great strategy to pursue for a very long time. You know, there is other ways Japan have been trying to stimulate the economy with, and you know, one of those is the famous Abenomics that former President Shinzo Abe in 2012 brought into the government. It was just a set of economic reforms, you know, based on the famous three arrows of monetary easing, but also fiscal stimulus through government spending and structural reforms to help the country's economy.
You mentioned there that global inflation has been one of the key drivers of rate rises, which has obviously put huge amounts of pressure on this yield curve control program. We spoke last week about how there's a certain expectation that global inflation will generally come down, and you know, as economic activity cools, this is a real possibility. Would you then say it's wise for the Bank of Japan to ease up on this policy, especially as there are expectations for a general cooling in global economic activity? You know, we've seen one of the key factors pressuring the governor, Kuroda, is the fact that politicians in Japan still think that demand lags supply in the country. You know, we've had, yes, there's cause for some optimism from the policy, but if it's just a blip, then wouldn't tightening just return Japan to the problems that it's seen in the past?
That's an excellent question. It's a million-dollar question, probably. You know, it's not an easy one to have an answer to. As you say, if inflation was to suddenly disappear again, then Japan would need to tighten monetary conditions and let rates go high, especially given that this is the first time in 20 years they have an acceptable level of inflation. So, you know, it feels like you don't want to waste all that work that has gone into stimulating the economy and keeping inflation rates a bit higher than they used to be. However, you know, on the other side, it's I guess it's about economic expectations. And as you say, inflation, global inflation has been driving inflation higher in Japan. However, also within Japanese corporates, we're starting to see some upward pressure on wages. I think Uniqlo was the latest massive employer to give a significant raise to its employees. And, you know, if wages grow substantially, inflation becomes entrenched into the economy. And that's when it doesn't go back to negative levels, perhaps, which again is a welcome event for the Japanese economy to some extent, but obviously all depends on the final level of inflation. And, you know, I just think it's very hard for Japan to unilaterally run some massive pro-cyclical monetary policy at a time when the rest of the world is not, at a time when Western economies are hiking aggressively to tame inflation.
Well, it's definitely the case that Japan needs to be careful that its own inflation doesn't go out of control, which it feels strange saying that after such a long period of deflation. But there is an argument that the inflation is necessary, as you mentioned, in terms of driving wage growth and being positive for businesses. And generally, the view for Japan is that there is always an opinion on what the bank should do and what is correct to do. And, you know, we've seen, whether it's through hedge funds or other speculators, we've seen huge positions against this program of yield curve control. But the Bank of Japan has never been afraid to try something radical, you know, try something innovative when it comes to dealing with the problems that it faces. Yes, it might seem correct to do, but is it likely that we see a change in policy?
Well, you know, if it was an obvious thing, we wouldn't need central bankers, right? So, as you say, the Bank of Japan has never been afraid of taking unpopular actions in the past. And I guess we'll see in April how things change as the current governor steps down from its role. Probably if a new person comes in power and has a bit more of a market-friendly or market accommodative behavior, then we might see these controls to be released further. That's markets have been disappointed already on that. They were expecting by a meeting that happened the other night in Japan that there would be some further news along those lines, but actually the Bank of Japan remained pretty stark on the desire of keeping, at least for now, the current target of 0% around the 10-year. I guess we'll see. But, you know, investing in Japan is not just about the monetary policy. It's not just about inflation and what the central bank is doing. It's a massive stock market. There is 3,000 or so stocks listed. It's very deep. And, you know, since Shinzo Abe took power in 2012, we've seen some reforms happening. Now companies are pushed by shareholders to be more shareholder-friendly, mindful of returns, paying up dividends, spending capital to buy shares back. You know, companies have been sitting on huge piles of cash for a very long time, and now it's about time to unlock that capital, which makes us feel positive about Japanese equities, and they're trading at very cheap valuation. They have been trading at those levels for a very long time, but today we see a catalyst just before our eyes. So we're positive, and we'll see what happens in April.
Well, Lorenzo, it's been fascinating to discuss it, whatever happens, and we know that it's going to be an interesting year ahead. So thank you very much for joining me to discuss it, and looking forward to talking next week.
Thank you, Ben. Goodbye.
For professional advisors only. The views expressed are those of Momentum Global Investment Management at the time of recording and are subject to change without notice. Momentum Global Investment Management has used all reasonable efforts to ensure the accuracy of the information contained in this communication, but we cannot guarantee the reliability, completeness, or accuracy of the content. This podcast is for information purposes only and does not constitute investment advice or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell. Momentum Global Investment Management, company registration number 3733094, has its registered office at the Rex Building, 62 Queen Street, London, EC4R1EB. Momentum Global Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority in the United Kingdom, registration number 232357, and is exempt from the requirements of Section 7(1) of the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act 37 of 2002 in South Africa, in terms of the FSCA FAIS Notice 141 of 2021, published on the 15th of December 2021. For complaints relating to Momentum Global Investment Management's financial services, please contact distribution services at momentum.co.uk. Your capital is at risk.